1 Corinthians 11. Now, some theologians believe that 1 Corinthians 11 is the most controversial, toughest section of Scripture in the New Testament. So I have to start out by telling you that I believe the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. In fact, God in Old Testament and New Testament says, don't add to it, don't take away from it. This is all of my word, preach it all. So when I stand before God, I want to say, I even read 1 Corinthians 11 to the people, whether you want to hear it or not. I was tempted to skip it and just go into 12, and I figured no one would even notice that I skipped chapter 11. So, but let me read it, and then I want to just deal with a couple of the verses. I'm just going to read from 1 to 16. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 to 16. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings just as I pass them on to you. Okay. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is who? Christ. And the head of the woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. And that's God the Father. Every man who prays and prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. And every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is just as though her head were shaved. If a woman does not cover her head, she should have her hair cut off. And if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or shaved off, she should cover her head. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. For this reason, and because of the angels, the woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head. I'm just going to stop there. All right, so this usually riles up women about this headship, and their hair goes up on their back. So, but let's, I want to focus on verse 3 here, because this kind of shows like the governmental order. Our functions. I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is man. The head of Christ is God. And I want to use an umbrella to symbolize someone who is the head. Someone who is the head over people that are under him. And he's like an umbrella. So I did a little study on umbrellas this week. Where do you think 99% of all umbrellas are made? China. How long do you think umbrellas have been around? Long time. Thousands of years. Umbrellas were only used for rain recently, in the last couple hundred years. What were they originally used for? The sun. Very good. So here are special umbrellas for special people here. Yeah, here's some of the lights. So how many of you golf? Okay. When I get old and can't move around too much, and I'm going to take up golf too from tennis. But for you golfers, when it rains, you usually stop. Here is the solution. Oh, let me go back. Okay. So this is the golf club umbrella. Okay, so you can walk through the green, put down your umbrella, take the shot, and then go put it back up again for your next shot. Women, this is for you. For your expensive $2,000 high heel shoes, your own personal shoe umbrellas. I like this umbrella. This would have been handy the last winter. You open this, and every time you look up, you can say, ah, blue skies. It's nice, instead of snowy skies. This is an umbrella for your pet, okay? This is for those of you, how many of you, your pets are like kids? Yes, okay. So I don't know if our cat would go for this, but anyway, here is an umbrella for your pet. These are weapons. These are swords. And I was just reading this week that women, you're going to get good protective advice here. If some mugger comes at you and you have an umbrella, just knock them over the head with it. Or it's really a handy weapon for you. Okay, so now women will be carrying umbrellas all the time. Even in the sunshine. This is the answer to me and my wife. You can't tell, but it's a two-person umbrella. And both he and her are holding two handles of the double umbrella. And already she was fighting with me in between the services about this. Because we usually have one umbrella and we're always fighting. She usually always holds it. And I'm like, I'm not getting my fair share. I'm not getting 50%. And then she kept... What's that?
Why?
Yeah, so I'm tall. That's exactly right. So I get the, what do they call the tongs? What do you call those sharp parts of the umbrella that come into my neck? Okay? So I'm like, I'd like to be underneath it too, but ah. Yeah. All right. This is the answer for marriage. Does anyone else fight over, any other couples fighting over umbrellas? Are we it? Okay. How do you not fight over it? You get two umbrellas. See, I told you, that's why we had to get two toothbrushes. All right. Now, we didn't share toothbrushes, but we had to get two tubes of toothpaste. Because I squeeze from the bottom and she squeezes it.
Go check
it
right now.
I'm going to need marital counseling when this is over. This is the cranberry Mars woman who's busy with her hands are full of the latest shopping items, and so this like fits as a backpack behind you. Okay, when I thought of umbrellas as a kid, do you remember this couple from the Avengers? Every man that grew up, the kids probably don't know this, but all of us had a crush on Emma Peel. Okay. But I remember Mr. Steed always had an umbrella. Do you remember that? Now, for those of you that were from my generation, who else back in those early days had an umbrella that gas would come out from the end of it? The Penguin. Do you remember that? The Penguin? And every time he'd get out of jail, which was like every 5 weeks... He and Batman would be stupid enough to get by the end of his umbrella and get knocked out by Penguin gas again. So someone brought out to me between the services, and I never kind of made the connection that the guy that played Penguin was Rocky Balboa's coach or trainer. I was like, oh yeah, maybe that is right. All right. Well, about 3 years ago, my insurance company calls me up and says, you need umbrella policy. And I'm like, you know, umbrellas aren't, you already hit me for car, insurance, life, health, you name it. I'm already insured. I don't think I have to insure my umbrella. They seem pretty cheap. If it breaks, I'll just buy another umbrella. And this is a clever way that the insurance company now gets more money off of me because they already insured everything. And they said, oh, now you need $1 million umbrella policy over everything. How many have that? How many have already? Yeah, right. We all. So they scare you. We might have forgot one thing and you need this umbrella policy. So it's kind of a protection. So here is when this works. So... you have God the Father is like the head, huge umbrella, and Christ is underneath him. And then picture Christ as an umbrella. So he's under the Father. Then there's Christ. And if the Holy Spirit was mentioned, the Holy Spirit would be next because the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And then you have the husband who comes under the umbrella, hopefully, of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then you have God the husband. Then you have God the husband. The husband. Get myself into trouble here. The husband. The wife. And then the children. So let me zoom ahead here. This is supposed to be the kind of the new clicker. It's click. Click forward a little. Okay. No, go one more. Let me see. All right. So here's the... So someone who's in leadership acts like an umbrella of protection over those that are under them. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 5 for a moment. And let's talk about wives. Because this is usually what can drive women crazy, is this idea of being underneath their husband. So Ephesians chapter 5. And I just want you to know my wife authorized me to be able to preach this. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the what? He's the head of the home." Okay? He's the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water. Verse 28. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Okay, come back to 1 Corinthians 11. So I want to explain something. Putting yourself in submission to another person does not devalue who you are as a person. So women don't like that because, like, you're devaluing me by saying that I have to be submissive to my husband. I want you to view it as governmental. You'll notice that Christ is submissive to God the Father. Does that make him any less of being God? No. But he has chosen, there's three persons, one God. He has chosen to be submissive to the Father, but it does not lower who Christ is. And so in the same way, like, there's other umbrellas of authority that are over us other than God. There's government acts as an umbrella over a nation. Police act as an umbrella over a town. School teachers act as umbrellas over students. Your boss acts as an umbrella over the business. The church acts as an umbrella of protection over the members that are in the church. But it doesn't mean if you're under someone else's headship, someone else's authority, it doesn't mean you're less of a person than the person that you have submitted to. So for 8 years before I came to this church, 8 years I worked in the district, and my boss was Dr. Norris, the superintendent. And I took the governmental role of being submissive to him. He was the boss. He was the one who called the shots. He ultimately was the one who answered to the district, and I submitted under him. Did it mean that I was less of a man because I submitted to another man who was my boss? And the answer is no. Does it mean your boss is smarter than you? Not necessarily. Does it mean your boss is richer than you? Not necessarily. And so, in fact, there are many wives who are submissive to their husbands, and the wives are smarter than the husbands. There might be many wives that are submissive to their husbands, and they're, you know, more talented, whatever. But the Christian marriage that God lays out, he says, I want the man to be the head of the household, and then the wife, and then the children come underneath, and maybe pets come under the kids, okay? That's how we train them, with pets. It always usually falls back under the mother and the father. So women, it is not degrading for you to willingly, in your vows, to say, I will come under my husband's authority. Now, to the single women here, you're free. You're not under a direct authority from a husband. And here, I'm going to give you my two pieces of advice if you are a single woman and you are contemplating marrying a man and placing yourself, if you want a Christian marriage, and I personally believe it is the Christian marriages that work the best, okay? So if you're dating a man, here are the two things that you really want to look for. More than, I have these women come to me. If they're young women, I usually say, well, why do you want to marry that guy? Well, he's really good looking. Okay, that's about. If I go to older women and ask, well, why do you want to marry that guy? He really has a good job and makes some good money. He's got money. Okay, so I want to stretch you a little bit here, women, if you're single, what you should be looking for. So every person that's in authority should take good counsel from those underneath them that they are overseeing. And in fact, if they do not take good counsel, they will not be a person that will be a good boss or someone that's good in authority. So every CEO takes, if he's a good CEO, he takes advice from his employees, from his staff, from the heads of staff, from the rank and file. Every good CEO takes advice. The president of the United States, I don't know if he's the smartest person in the world or not. I doubt it. But who does he take advice from? If he's a good president, who does he take advice from? His cabinet. And the cabinet takes advice from people under them and from the country and stuff like that. So a husband that is smart, who does he take advice from? His wife. All right, so back in 1 Corinthians 11, I want you to notice something here. How many of you men are married to amazing women? Yeah, okay. So let me show you why that is. God helps us out, men. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8. It says, for man did not come from woman, but woman from man. What it's saying is God first created Adam and then created Eve out of Adam's rib, right? Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. So God created Adam, and he noticed that, I don't know what God noticed, but God says, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. He needs, and in the Hebrew, he needs a helpmate. He's going to mess himself up. And so I need to make a helpmate for that man. And so he created Eve, okay? So all I know, men, is women are amazing helpmates. And when you find that wife that you just go, this is the one God has for me. This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, spirit of my spirit. Women are amazing at being helpmates. We are horrible helpmates, just to tell you. Women are like, there's something in them that they love to help. They love to make us men successful. I just think of my wife. We first got married and it was like, oh, you know, boy, finance is going to be tight. Well, I'll work and help pay, you know, help with the finances. That sounds good. That would be a help. So my wife started working. Then we started having kids. And then I said, could you help with the dinner? I don't cook well. And I don't ironing and cleaning and cooking and all that stuff. And yeah, I'll help you. I'll do that. Through the years, my wife has been amazing in helping me in so many areas. It's like God looked down at me and said, oh, you need someone to help you. And Robin is that one. And I don't know. One of the main things when God brought Robin to me was God said, Joe, you need a great counselor as well. And I've made Robin to be your counselor. And you should listen to her. And so for the 31 years that we've been married, if I tell my wife, hey, look, I think we should invest in Pan Am stock. And my wife goes, for those that don't remember, that used to be an airline. They come and go. And my wife would say to me, you know, I just don't feel right about that. That would be like a check in the spirit. Very rarely, men, have I ever said to my wife, look, I'm the boss of the home. It's my way or no way. God has made, because I know that's going to probably lead to a fight. Okay. So, And you just don't win too much. I've learned that if my wife has a concern that maybe I better reanalyze that stock that I want to buy. Maybe she's, I've studied that the PE isn't right and the dividends isn't good paying. Or maybe she just says, I have a gut feeling that that's wrong. All I know is once we align and we agree, then usually God blesses that decision. And so, men, listen to your wives. If you are a good husband, you will take the counsel. God gave you that wife to be your helpmate, to give you counsel to live your life and to be successful. And that's why they always say behind a good man is what? a good wife. So women, you're single. You're looking at a man. First thing that I think you should be looking for is, does that man respect you and does he listen to your advice? Does he, when you say things, when you talk to him, does he sound like, is he a man who listens to the advice of others? If he's a boss at work and he never listens to his employees and says to you, my employees are nothing. They're just slaves that I pay them. I know what I'm doing. And you're going to marry that guy and become under him voluntarily? You're going to submit to yourself under wedding vows? Are you insane? Do you need your head examined? Why would you submit yourself to a guy who doesn't treat you with respect and won't listen to you? Okay. The second thing is, women, you don't want to submit to any man who isn't, who is the head of man? Should be the head of man? Christ. So women, you should not submit yourself in marriage to any man who is not in submission to Christ. It is very easy for, I think it's easier for children to follow their parents when their parents follow God. I think it's easier for a wife to follow a husband when she knows her husband is following God. And when the wife can see, the husband says, I want to go this way, and he reads the word, God says I shouldn't go this way, that I should go that way. Dear, that's the way we're going to go, because it says that here in God's word. That's the man you want to marry, because he is going to follow Christ. And so you can follow him because he's following Christ. It's much easier for a company to follow a boss if the boss is following Christ. In Proverbs, there's all kinds of blessings on a nation where the king and the leader follows God. Then the people are blessed. And it's easier for people to follow a leader who's following God. All right. So let me, I don't know how this one came up. I saw this was like an umbrella of the church over the members. I don't know where to. If you stay underneath your head, there's blessings. So if you stay in submission to those who are over you, God blesses you. So I once, 32 years ago, I was an assistant pastor. And the pastor hired me, Pastor Paul. He trusted me. He gave me responsibility as assistant pastor. Well, there was a group of about seven families that met with me and said, Pastor Joe, we don't like Pastor Paul. And we don't like the way he's taking the church. And you're just an amazing pastor. They were rubbing my ego. You're just wonderful, terrific. And we think we should like have a coup and force out the senior pastor. And then you can take over the church. Or if we can't do that, let's break free and start our own church. And I wish I could tell you that it was like, that's wrong. But they were stroking my ego. They were doing it very cleverly and very, until it kind of came right out. But the Lord convicted me like, no, I am not going to, my senior pastor was not sinning. And yeah, maybe they didn't like the direction he was taking, but it wasn't sin, it was how God was leading. And my role was to be submissive to the senior pastor. And so I told these people, look, I'm not going to do that. I'm behind my senior pastor, and God is using him. And it was interesting. They just, they repented, and they came underneath. Well, I believe God blessed me for the last 30 years of my life, all the people that have served under me, even like I think of Pastor Jeff. Pastor Jeff is the most amazing, submissive assistant pastor to me that I've ever had. I mean, he's intelligent. He's got great insight. But it's like God has blessed me all through my years with great assistant pastors. And I think it all goes back to when I was an assistant pastor, I was loyal and faithful to the person that was over me. I believe if you're loyal to your boss, God will bless your life. And just wait for his timing, what he will do in your life. I believe a wife who is submissive to her husband will be blessed by God. And if her role is, I'm here to help my husband and for him to be successful, I believe the whole family will be successful. I can't believe what God has done in our life in 31 years. I believe if kids stay under the authority of mom and dad, kids have a double umbrella protection, the father, the mother, that there is blessing. In fact, if children honor their father and mother, what's the promise? It will go well for you, okay? And you'll have a long life. So God gives a promise to the children who listen to, who stay under the authority of their parents and listen to their advice until the proper age that the parents say, hey, you know, you're ready to move on and to move into adulthood. So when you move out from underneath the umbrella protection that is over you, you subject yourself to the rain, or I like to say Satan's attacks. So men, you need to understand you are the main spiritual protection of your home. By the way, I read on the internet this week, 98% of women, if the husband and the wife are together in the bedroom and a burglar breaks in, who do you think is going to go confront the burglar? The husband or the wife? The wife. Well, that's the 2%. Because 98% of women said the man is going to go confront the burglar. Okay? I want to also say, men, you are, not only do you protect your home from physical attacks from a burglar and your children, but you are the spiritual protection over your wife and family from Satan's attacks and from the world's attack on your family, on your wife and children. Satan wants to attack your wife and your children, okay? So, men, you need to be... So, if kids, if you get out from underneath the umbrella, so if I, if an employee says, I'm not going to listen to my boss anymore, I'm going to get out from under my boss, I'm going to do my own thing, what is the penalty? What's going to happen? How will Satan attack this renegade employee? What? You're going to get fired. Yeah. Satan's going to love taking your job off of you because work is so meaningful and important for us, okay? So you will get fired and you probably mess up things. Okay. So what happens if kids, let's just, I'm going to pick on 16-year-olds for some reason. Let's say a 16-year-old says, I'm not going to listen to mom and dad anymore. I want to break free from my authority. And so I'm going to run away. And the reason I picked is because from New York City, I saw tons of kids anywhere from 14 to 18 that had run away from their parents, many from Pennsylvania. Okay? So these kids go, I'm going to run away from home. I don't want to be under my parents' rules, and I want freedom. And they go to New York City. Do you think they find freedom? No. You know what they find? And it's so sad when I would walk the streets of New York. They would have to get involved in drugs, prostitution. They worked in places that just treated them like slaves. In fact, Satan would imprison those kids. I never saw a kid that ran away from his home and was like, oh, I found freedom. Oh, life is so much better. God is so blessing me because I took off from under the authority of my parents. And I'm not talking about parents that are abusing their kids, okay? I don't want the rules because I want freedom. And it's horrible. Talk about enslavement. All these kids get, Satan's got people ready to pick them up. There are people all over New York that are just waiting for the next bus to unload and this 16-year-old girl to get off. They're standing there. Hey, I've got a great deal for you. I've got freedom for you. Follow me, as they lead them right into slavery. And it is such, it's just, I can't believe what happens to children when they get out from underneath the authority. All right, so what happens if your authority has sin in their life? And where's my, you got my, so when you have, yeah. So I wanted to buy an umbrella that I could put holes in, okay? Because when you sin, it's like putting a hole in your umbrella where Satan can then attack through you to the next level. So if a CEO is sinning, if he's robbing, if he's doing stuff that's wrong, eventually he has holes and the employees will suffer. If the president has sin in his life, the country will suffer. If a husband has sin in his life, his wife is going to suffer. If a husband and wife have sin in their life, the kids are going to suffer. So I took my wife with, we went to Goodwill on 19. It was the first time we went there. And I said, hey, I just need to run in quick and get an umbrella. I need to get a cheap one because it's going to get cut up. So I'm searching the whole store and I found one. Okay, it was $1.99. So I was like, oh, this is great. I'm getting out of a store. I only had to spend $1. I took my wife in the store with me accidentally. So, and in the time I found an umbrella, she came over and said, yeah, I just found a couple of nice things. Oh, so it was like $20. So we're driving home and the umbrella is like this. And she says to me, did you check out the umbrella? And I said, no, I didn't check it out. Goodwill, I'm sure, checked it out because they wouldn't be selling it if it didn't work. So, and I'm not going to open up the umbrella in the middle of the store and have everyone looking at me like the penguin. So I get home. And there, literally, that's... So then I got... Pastors don't get mad. I got upset. And then I threw it in the garbage. But then later on, I thought to myself, wait a second, maybe this will illustrate anyway. It's not a hole, but it's still the same principle. So there is, and I'm willing to sell this to anyone for $1. So there's so Satan, men, Satan can bypass you and can attack your family. I want you to understand something very carefully. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, are you aware that, do you know what excommunication is? If you look at 1 Corinthians 5, do you know what excommunication is? And I want to go back to that one. This illustration. Just picture that this is the church, and that's the members. So the members are under the protection of the elders and the leadership of the church. And in my opinion, you only want to place yourself under the elders and pastors who follow the word of God from cover to cover. Okay, that's the only church I would put yourself under, that the elders and pastors are directly under Christ. Okay? So the members of a church receive spiritual protection from the church. But when a member that is underneath decides he wants to live like the devil, then and will not repent, even though the church talks to them and other people talk, and they still insist that they want to live like the devil, then you go to what's called excommunication. And you say to the member, you're out. You cannot come under the protection of the church any longer. And that's what happens here in 1 Corinthians 5. So this guy's living with his stepmother in a relationship. And he's unwilling to repent. And so Paul says in verse 4, and that's in the first couple of verses, okay? You can read that. But in verse 4, when you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. So when you hand someone over to, you take them out of the protection of the church, then Satan can directly attack them. So let me just back up and tell you again. Husbands and wives, I'm telling you, men, if this is your umbrella, Satan is going to be able to attack your wife and children because you've got sin in your life. If you think, men, that you can be an alcoholic and you don't think Satan's going to attack your family, that it'll only be you that will pay for your alcoholism and not your wife and kids, I don't know what planet you live on. Men, if you lie and cheat at work, if you're watching pornography or having an affair and you don't think that that's going to attack, that Satan then can't go through you to attack your wife and kids, I don't know where you're living. If you're following another god, if you make money your god, your job your god, Satan can now, you've got holes in your umbrella, it's defective, and Satan will attack your wife and kids. And just so you know, when this guy was removed from the church, Satan was able to attack physically this man. Okay? He probably doesn't have permission to kill him, but he can attack him physically. Now, the worst thing is when the husband does this and the wife is also sinning. So if the husband, if the husband uses drugs and the wife uses drugs, I'm going to show you kids that are really going to get messed up. If the husband lies and the wife lies, those kids are going to be hit by Satan and every temptation. So men and God has a double protection for kids because he loves kids. But men and women, when you're not walking with the Lord, the attack is going to go by you to those that are underneath you. And we got too close. Let's have some prayer. And if you have questions, you can see me afterwards. Father, I pray, Lord, for all of our marriages. We thank you, Lord, as men, for the wives, the helpmates that you have brought to us. And often, Lord, our wives are smarter than us in many areas and have keen wisdom and insight. May we be men that take the counsel of our wife and sometimes and often even our children in being the head over the household. Bless our spouses. Help us to be spiritual shields from the attacks of the enemy and the world and all of this stuff that's happening out there that's targeting our kids. And Father, bless us as we close with this song. In Jesus' name we pray.